This is a podcast for the MA in Online Journalism by Distance Learning at Birmingham City University.
A common mistake in multimedia production is to leave interactivity until after someone has produced the story. So, particularly if you've worked in traditional media, you might write the story or put together the broadcast package and only then think about, well, how are people going to interact with this online? Shall we let them have comments? Shall we let them add things, share it, and so on? But interactivity should be absolutely embedded in every part of your production process. And in this podcast, I'm going to map out the different types of interactivity and how they relate to multimedia production and how you can embed interactivity in pre-production, in the production process itself, and in post-production. Now, to begin with, I should probably define what we mean by interactivity, because it's a term that's bandied around, but often different people mean different things when they talk about something being interactive or they talk about interactivity in journalism. One of the ways that I've tried to map this out is by looking at different types of interactivity and trying to really conceptualize this. And what I found was that it tended to map around people having control. And I think that's what interactivity boils down to. It's giving the users control over some dimension of your content. Now, as I've said before, the kind of obvious ways that that comes into play is comments, which is giving people control over input, and social sharing, which is giving people control over output, over distributing the content. Another is multimedia control itself, so allowing people to play and pause it, which is giving people control over the time of that product. And in fact, if you map it out, you see that interactivity is not just control over input and output, but control over time and space. And those are, I think, are the four dimensions across which it's useful to think about interactivity. And if you're starting a journalism project and trying to include interactivity in that, that's a matrix, and there's a link alongside this podcast to an image of this, which is really useful in brainstorming around that. So in terms of, you know, how your user is going to experience this, can you give them control over input at some point? Can you give them control over how that content is output? Do they want to control the time at which they consume it? Do they want to control the space in which they consume it? And some examples of this, RSS is a really good one. RSS, just having an RSS feed on your content allows people to combine it with other content and control the output, control the way that it's consumed there. It also allows them to control the time over which they might consume it. A podcast, this podcast, is a good example of giving people control over not just time, not just the time that they consume it, but the space. You can walk around with this, listening to this in any space you want. You're not tied to a particular, to a radio, for example, or a television. So let's go back to the production process itself. In pre-production, you're obviously going to be thinking about what your subject is, what questions you're going to try to answer, the case studies, the sources that you're using. And these are all elements which your users might have some really valuable contributions to make. They might know people with experiences that would make brilliant case studies. They might have expert knowledge that allows them to suggest questions you wouldn't have thought of. They might identify subjects, indeed, that you might overlook. So you might actually change the angle of a subject or the focus of your work because of the input of users. And that's only going to make your journalism better most of the time. So it's a good idea, for example, to start talking about your production as early as possible. Talk about the ideas that you're having. And hopefully, if you're engaged in a community or a network that is involved in that field, they can start to give you feedback and make suggestions around that. there's always a fear with journalism, I think, about exclusivity and about kind of showing your hand too early. But I think there are a couple of issues with this. First of all, I think you need to be clear about your objectives and why you want that exclusivity. If there is a clear commercial reason or an editorial reason in terms of other people stealing your story, so to speak, then that's understandable. But if it's just about ego and it's just about, or even ownership and kind of wanting it to be all yours, I think quite often that can be to the detriment of the journalism itself. So it's worth thinking through what you are reporting on and how much that would benefit from user input at an early stage, and also whether that user input would give you commercial benefits, for example. So someone else might start to report the same story, but because you're doing it in an open and collaborative way, you will still have a larger audience for your journalism and a higher quality piece of work at the end. So consider those questions. The evidence is, you know, you see time and time again that engaging with a community does actually lead to better journalism. In fact, there's an example right going on at the moment with some of my undergraduate students who are investigating the issue of students working in the sex trade. Now, rather than waiting until they finished the whole investigation to publish a single piece of work, they've been publishing everything that they've discovered along the way, and they've been collaborating with students in other cities around the country. Now, as a result of that, they've had comments on their blog from people working in the sex industry, people who are experts in that field, and in the end, they're going to be coming out with a piece of work which has some fantastic case studies and expertise and a different angle, actually, to that which they started with as a result of that engagement with the community. And, you know, they've not suffered at all, really, as a result of doing that. So think about pre-production. Think about opening up those production processes, you know, talking to people about issues, asking if they've got experiences of those. In production itself, you might want to think about interactivity in terms of how people interact with your production process. So if there's an event that you're attending as part of that, for example, you might want to live blog it. You might want to retweet the tweets of other people at the same event or people who are commenting on it. You might want to tweet the process of production itself. So where you're filming, what you're doing, who you're talking to, interesting things that they've said. If you're interviewing someone on video, for example, you might want to publish that video as you go on the way to a final piece, which contains a number of videos edited together. Again, the advantage of this is that people can join in the process, and you will extend your distribution network, you will extend your exposure to different ideas and opinions and knowledge of the issue that you're covering. And you will also emphasise your expertise, really, and your authority in that field. Then we come to post-production. Once you effectively feel that you have finished your part of this production, the story doesn't end. And this is where users really do take over. If you're publishing an article, for example, then people will start to comment underneath it, for example. And you want to think about how you might deal with those comments, whether they might update things that you've talked about in the report or in the piece of multimedia. Quite often people will add new information or they will add extra context. So think about the comments and the comments thread. It might not just be on your text report, but also on the videos if you're hosting them on YouTube, on the audio if you're hosting them somewhere else, even the images and so on. Think about also how the story continues to develop and the people involved in that story. Depending on the resources that you have available, for example, you might want to ask one of the people involved in your report to blog about what's happening to them. Or they might already have a blog that you want to link to. And that means that people who are interested in the story that you've reported can continue to follow it through the eyes of one of those involved. It might be a case study, it might be an expert, it could be anyone involved, really. Another thing that people might want to do is discuss the issues that your story raises. So you might want to either start a discussion forum around those issues, or probably better, identify a forum where those discussions are already taking place, or the community that that is going to discuss them is already gathered. It's very difficult to start a forum from scratch on a single discussion. It's much better to find where the community is already discussing other issues. And finally, in post-production, you want to think about interface. So how is someone going to control the output of your content? You might, for example, just write a traditional text article. You might produce a traditional broadcast package. But increasingly, you might be thinking about splitting up the different parts of that into some sort of project or product that people can experience in different ways. So if you're doing video, for example, you might have different clips of video all on a single interface, and someone can choose which one to view and what order to view them in. You might have a mix of multimedia. You might have video and audio, audio slideshows, text reports, links to other resources, forums, and so on. And again, you want to think about the interface that allows a user to choose their path through those resources and which ones they experience and which ones they don't. So that's interactivity. Just to sum up the key points, think about control. Think about how your user might want to control the time and the space in which they experience your story. And think about the way that they might want to control their input into that story and how that story is output to them, how they experience it, which parts they experience, in which order. Think about interactivity not just as something that happens after the story is finished, but actually something that takes place in the very beginnings of the story as you're generating ideas and thinking about case studies and subjects and questions. Think about how it plays out in the production itself while you're reporting, while you're gathering information. Think about what's going to happen to the story after you've finished reporting the lion's share of it. And think about what the user might want to do with the information that you've given them, or the subject that you've introduced to them, or the issue that you've introduced. Think particularly around links. You know, are they going to want to dig into more detail? Are they going to want to connect with others around this issue? Are they going to want to campaign? Are they going to want to go to physical meetups? Think about what they might want to do with that, because ideally you want to be producing journalism which is useful, which is relevant, and which has impact. And if it does those things, then people will want to act on that. And I think that's the key point about interactivity and how it's changing online journalism. It makes journalism the start of a process, and quite often something that happens after other people have already got involved. So don't think of your piece of journalism as the beginning and end of a story. It's only the beginning, really, of something that someone else is going to take elsewhere.